All right, hour number 4907. It's the replacements, as Jeff Ross called us. It's Willie and Jerry.
I'm okay with that.
Boomer and Gio.
I started all my life, so I'm used to
coming to you live in the Built Ford Tough studio. Yes, I've been a replacement in many places too. So,
but you're not. I don't see you as a replacement, Jeff. You're like, you're part of the big three.
That's,
Jerry,
yeah,
excuse me. I said Jeff.
When
Jerry.
You slide over, if you're still kind of the replacement and the fill-in. Of course you are.
Nah.
You're right. I am here every day, but it is a little different. A little bit different. So anyway, looking forward to the show, though. I appreciate him coming in for like 40 minutes, which was very cool.
Which was good. And he was awesome. It's not easy to talk about something like that. But I think that's what makes comedians great. They're able to kind of take the dark and make it light and funny and also spin it. But as I talked to you behind the curtain, I wanted to ask him about his dating life. Because comics, it's tough dating a comic.
A very tough lifestyle.
They bring the bedroom to the stage.
Yeah.
And if you're the lady, they don't want to hear, you know, what they could do or not do.
And there have been a lot of comics that do that type of, for lack of a better term, wife bashing comedy,
yep.
Which, and
it's funny.
Vice versa too. The females do the husband bashing and it's all very funny. And the few comedians that I have known or I've talked to, I have asked them like, do you like approve that with it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh no. She checked out a long time ago and just doesn't listen anymore.
Yeah, as long as the lights on, the water's running, I got Wi-Fi. Let it rip.
That's exactly right. Uh-huh. So, but you're right. Tough lifestyle. Has to be.
Well, part of it, too, especially for a guy like Jeff, like we just ran clips of him. I mean, he had Shaq, Arsenio. I mean, he has a wheelhouse of some of the best to ever do it. He has stories for days. He's a guy who you do go see on Broadway because he just has oral history. And that's and just to pivot back, why is that important? Because that's what a lot of these coaches, especially in the NFL right now across the league, they're calling more older guys back to the building because the oral history is important. Because if you don't have them stories about Boomer as a Jet talking to a Justin Fields, that oral history gets lost. And so Jeff has oral history within comics. That's why guys like him are important to be around a lot of these younger comics like Doug. You wasn't doing it when nobody cared or my brand of comedy was outcasted. Because he was an outcast for a little bit. He mentioned it. He said, "Go, you know, what I was doing, you know, the others in the corporate world, I guess the others didn't want my brand around because they thought it was too harsh and crass and in your face. But now he survived it and now he's the guy."
I would say so. And it's a good awkward transition back to sports because you talk about being the guy and the history and what you bring to the table. We haven't spent any time on Mike Brown. And again, it doesn't really warrant more than a couple minutes, but it is notable that he did speak yesterday and spoke to the media. And I came away from it this way. The Tibbs thing's over. Al and I talked about that yesterday. And I talked about it Monday.
Well, I'm going to say this, and I don't mean to cut you off. It's only over if Mike Brown does the job he's been sent here.
Yeah, sure. It will come up again if they don't perform well in the postseason next year or they I agree with that. But in terms of moving forward now, at this point, even the biggest Tibbs supporter like myself has to move on. You move on, he'll be fine. He's got $30 million coming to him. Okay. Didn't agree with it or like it, but it is what it is.
Yep.
They did well. Mike Brown's a good coach. We talked about this. A lot of the things he said yesterday were fine. He seems like he knows what he's doing in terms of being in front of the media. Not surprised by that either. The one thing I would take really positively from it, if you're a Knick fan, is, and he talked about this too, is all the championship experience he has. Maybe not necessarily as a head coach. He was there in the NBA Finals with LeBron
and Cleveland. Definitely for all the rides, for sure.
But boy, he was on some big-time staffs and knows what it takes. If you were in that locker room, I think I asked you this on Monday, now that we've heard from him, you're in that locker room and Mike Brown comes walking in now. What is the dynamic? What is different about this team, would you say, in terms of how they view themselves with him now at the helm?
Well, I think for any ball player coming off the season that Knicks just had, and it goes back to what we talked about earlier, how are you going to make us better? Because they already feel like the trajectory was going up. Division one round, Eastern Conference rounders. Eastern Conference Finals, can you get us to the promised land, meaning the NBA Finals? And Mike Brown, having been a part of so many successful rides, what can you bring to the table to make Jalen Brunson's role lighter, right? How can we help great wing defenders and Mikal Bridges and OG maybe not take a lesser role, but how can we elevate their role to where they're not fatigued in the fourth? Mikal Bridges and OG, they're defending the best on the court, right? How can we elevate them? And how can we allow... or not even allow, how can we get Mitch and Big Cat to be on the court at the same time? and be a tandem that can play multiple long minutes. And also, are we ever going to get that dominant pick and roll out of Brunson and Big Cat? So there's, I think for all the Knicks fans and everybody, listen, how can we elevate? We know what we're capable of. We know we have the heart, the grit, the culture's there. Tibbs established all of that. What's the next step? Especially after we talked about it, the East is wide open.
Oh, yeah.
This window won't be here for long. Because why? Guys come in, guys get better, guys elevate. How can we maximize this window we're in, considering that we're considered the top dogs in the East?
Did you make anything of the Rick Brunson thing, that he is going to have to take some sort of a reduced role? But still there, still going to be on the staff, but he's not going to be a lead assistant.
I just don't know. I just don't know because Mike Brown has been on record. He wants to bring in his guys.
Yeah.
He's not like Brunson was a Tibbs guy, was with him in Minnesota and Chicago. Obviously, he has a relationship with Leon Rose. It feels like, and I'm not trying to be dismissive to Rick Brunson because I got a lot of respect for him, but it feels like he's there to kind of save face or continue to keep Jalen at peace, right? You never want to see your dad get fired. But at the same time, if you're going to allow Mike Brown to step in, you got to give him room to step in. So I don't know the relationship between him and Mike Brown. Obviously, there's some respect there, and I know they know each other. But I think if anytime you step into a new position and you want to bring your guys in, you want your guys to be in. You don't want your guys to feel like, well, who's this guy? You don't want that situation. So I don't know. But I just think, I imagine that if Rick is okay with it, the rest of the team has to be okay with it.
And in terms of, you talk about the Eastern Conference, I mean, really, when you look at it, because of what happened with Boston, what's gone on with Indiana, yeah, Cleveland's going to be there. Detroit's going to be good again. And also Orlando and Atlanta. Like, as wide open as it is, and I do agree with that. I mean, you can use that phrase. Cleveland still won 60-plus games, and there are still two or three teams that are pretty damn good, even if Boston takes a step or two back, yep, and even if Indiana takes a step back. The conference, while wide open and is there for the taking, it's not like it's going to be a cakewalk. There's still going to be good teams you're going to have to fight through.
Yeah, Detroit. I mean, Detroit, yeah, was indicative to how tough they played the Knicks in the first round, right? You also got Orlando, who's acquired more pieces, especially with Desmond Bane. You also look at, I mean, you can't sneeze at Atlanta. Atlanta is going up and coming. And then, be honest, you know, Pat Riley, he's about heat culture. They're going to figure out how they can add and kind of surround Bam and Hero with more pieces where they can be where they need to be, and that's competing for an NBA championship.
So. All right, and before we take a break, just a couple minutes on the baseball, because we started way, it's amazing, we started way back when on the Mets and the Yankees at 6 o'clock and have had basically no conversation about them since, because we've been all over the map. But fair to point out, two good nights last night, and, you know, I made a big point at 6 o'clock how the Met win was really fueled by Nimmo and Lindor and Soto and Alonso.
Yeah.
You can make the same case for the Yankees in that, yeah, they were up 10-0, but it was also fueled by the likes of Chisholm and Judge and Stanton.
And a rain delay.
I mean, well, on the rain, that certainly plays a part, there's no doubt, but it was like it's the big players doing what they're paid to do, what you expect them to do. And when they do perform like that, these teams win.
Well, it goes back to the game they had Sunday against the Mets. That play from Cody Bellinger, yep, in left field, was everything. Saved the game, right? And we can't speak enough. We're in the dog days of summer where everybody's going through it. We talk about, I think it was the Post that posted that said, we need starting pitching, meaning the Yankees, starting pitcher in middle relief. We need everything, yeah, right? And there's a point where, you know, Cashman, around this time, he's looking to trade. He's looking to wheel and deal. But it also comes to the point, if you start wheeling and dealing, how are you breaking up the continuity of this team? Because they're figuring themselves out. This is a new club. They don't have Soto. There's guys hurt. You talk about Leiter. He just went down. Yep. Schmidt went down. So it's interesting around this time. So these gritty wins are important, especially going into the break, because I think, and I'm always going to be a fan of momentum, you never want to go into a break and come out of a break with stank on your back. You want to feel like you want to feel like good times are ahead, and winning these games, these gritty games, obviously helped it.
No doubt about it. Mets win last night, and Baltimore Yankees beat Seattle last night. And Mike Brown, the new coach of the Knicks. There you go. There's
I'm
the
okay with
in
it.
A nutshell. Exactly right. We'll take a break. CeeLo, we missed him last hour. We will get Chris in coming up in just a couple of moments. Plus, we can get to your calls. We've had none today. And quite frankly, we might not have any. Whatever. 888-808-1019 is the number. Built Ford Tub Studio, Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, 25 after 9. Nice to have you with us. Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. Built Ford Tough Studio, 888-808-1019 is the number. We've got more time as we take it to 10 o'clock. Jeff Ross, last hour. We missed the sounds and sights from one Chris Lopresti. He is back now, and we say good morning.
Oh, good morning. Sorry, I'm just getting everything resituated here.
Oh, I'm sorry. You can
after your.
Did you need another 2 hours?
No, not for the up there. You know, the headphones and the coffee and all that. Yes, it's all good. We are brought to you by Sansone Auto Mall, Woodbridge, New Jersey. Also sponsored by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Last night for the Mets series opener down in Baltimore, they were behind, mounted a comeback, and then in extra innings, Juan Soto doing the job.
First pitch. Swinging a sharp shot up the middle. Base hit into center field for Soto. Here comes Lindor. No throw. Lindor scores standing up. And the Mets strike first in the 10th. Soto makes it 7-6. Easy pickings. Base hit up the middle.
That's Keith Raddatz. Juan Soto. Yeah. Odyssey Mets Radio. And that did hold up as the difference. 7-6 win for the Mets as Waskar Brazoban closed things down in the bottom half of the 10th after Edwin Diaz pitched a scoreless ninth and only 10 pitches. So I guess yes. He could have run him back out there, but they went Brazoban and he got the job done. Here was Soto on the 8th inning rally now as he singled between 2-run homers from both Francisco Lindor and Pete Alonso.
I think it's a winning at bats right there. Yeah, we take a really good at bats. We fight, we grind all the way, and we come through.
And that's what got them back in the game. A 6-2 deficit became a 6-6 tie, ultimately forced extra innings. Soto, courtesy of SNY. You had Steve Cohen taking to Twitter X after the game for this comeback win. Quote, phenomenal win tonight, led by the Fab Four. That was Nimmo, Lindor, Soto, and Alonso as they combined to go 8-for-19 with the 2 home runs and 6 RBIs. Now, back to Soto. We know he was left off the National League All-Star roster. Asked about it after the game, I guess, in a way.
Would you have liked to make the All-Star team?
What do you think?
I don't know. Some people want to take vacation.
I mean, I think it's a lot of money on the table if I make it.
I mean,
the money again.
Money?
Are we looking for that All-Star game? A little extra bonus,
that's
I guess.
That's got to be a joke.
There's
no way that he's disappointed he's not an All-Star because of the All-Star game check.
I don't know. That video was posted by SNY from the post-game gathering there.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it's not real. I'm saying he's got to be joking.
I think he's definitely butthurt about it, though.
You know what? I guess so. I mean, some guys, it means a lot to some guys. To some guys that have done it a lot, they probably are thankful they don't have to go. But he is still young, and you know what? It means something, so good for him.
$75 million signing bonus and a salary of just under $47 million for this year.
Do you know what the... What is the bonus?
I don't know. I'm not aware. I mean, I know that obviously guys get bonuses for or share for World Series participants.
He's not tripping over that bonus. He's just salty he wasn't selected, especially after the month he's had.
Interesting, though, that he would bring the money up. You have to know that people are going to kind of roll their
eyes.
Yeah,
I think that's a little dry humor.
Contract. All right.
So, not for
nothing. Good on him, then, if that's the case.
So, last year, each player got $15,000. I mean, give me a bro. What are we talking about here? We're just making almost $1 billion.
It probably costs more than $15,000.
And if they win, the winning team of the All-Star Game shares a bonus pool. Last year, the winning team players received $20,000. So I guess he stands to make $35,000.
But there might be a bonus in his contract also, in his contract with
the
Mets.
How much more are we paying the guy?
I didn't, you know what? I could probably find that for you.
I see that part, Eddie. But
it's $750 million.
I understand.
Wow. Like,
there could be an additional $100,000 from the Mets, perhaps.
See here.
Okay. Yeah,
is this really any different, details? Jerry, than people asking for a free streaming service?
$100,000 for
that's
each.
That's very funny.
$100,000. $100,000 from the Mets for All-Stars. For All-Stars.
So, so then $135,000 he lost potentially.
That's
a lot of money, but to him it's not. It's just not. Not when you're making, what is it, $55 million this year or $54 million this year?
Well, the signing bonus was $75.
True.
And then it's $47, I think, or $46 and change or $47.
Oh, no, I'm not even joking.
For this year.
Let's say that $135,000 was just put into his annual salary.
Would he even notice?
He wouldn't even know if it was there or not.
You think he's even checking his direct deposit?
I don't.
I'm guessing he's not.
I don't.
But I do just swipes.
I do.
He's not even tripping. Yeah.
You're right, though. It's probably, you said,
it's all ego. This is all ego. He feels salty that he's been slighted, especially him getting out of the slump. So.
He wasn't slighted. He should have played better in April and May.
Got player of the month. He's the face
for
of the
June.
Franchise.
Like April and May.
Some people alone, because of their celebrity and what they've been able to do, warrants them an automatic bid. It's happened in basketball and the Pro Bowl for years.
I am not saying that the game wouldn't be better and more star-studded with him there. All I'm saying is I kind of understand why he's not, why he didn't get...
I don't. Some people, because of who they are and what they do on their playing field, warrants them an automatic spot. And they just, it is what it is.
Here's David and Glen Rock. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Jerry, man, come on. I mean, yes, I'm a Yankee fan. A little bit of sour grace for sure. I wanted Soto back. I didn't want to pay him the money. But make no mistake, how you guys are trying to make him look good here,
it's
kind of unbelievable.
It's only
this guy was totally about the money. 100% about the money when he said that. There was no joke there. That is what motivates him. Hey, but God bless, that's okay. Doesn't make him a bad person per se. It just makes me not want him on my team.
Fair enough, David. You're not wrong.
By the way, before you hit that next call, do you remember in the immediate aftermath of them losing Game 5 of the World Series, he was already talking about
free agency.
Yeah, and how
because they asked him that
all
question.
30 teams will get a...
Yes.
So there is something to that.
I know. It made a little more sense when you said the $100,000 bonus. When I'm looking at $15,000 or $20,000 for a guy that, as you said, got a bonus of $75 million, you wouldn't even know if he got that check.
No question. I agree.
Am I really taking this call?
Well, Al put it up, so...
Stephen Mayapak. What's up, Steve? Good morning.
I know you didn't want to take it. You're a loyal guy. I get it. But it's got to happen. You guys need a spot. You need the 2 o'clock spot.
No, we're not taking the 2 o'clock spot.
You need the 2 o'clock spot. I'm sorry. I know what you're going to say.
No.
I can't do it. You guys have loyalty. But
of course.
You guys are such a great listen. Like, no. I'm a contractor. I haven't even started my day. The customer is looking at me in my car like a jack off. And I
if you're late, do you really
have a great listen?
Well,
I appreciate the love.
Thank you, but we're not replacing Evan. We're not doing that. But thank you. It's nice words and a nice compliment. That was
they suck. Even though Jerry did say that he wished he could get a job. That starts a lot later so he can sleep more.
I said, for the first time in my life, I wish I had a job that wasn't as early as it is. And the sleep has become an issue.
And I said, ditto.
But I'm not replacing anybody, so no. But thank you, Steve. That was very nice.
Very good. Mets have won 5 of 6. You got David Peterson and Tomoyuki Sugano tonight. It's a 7:05 first pitch, Odyssey Mets Radio. The Mets are even with the Phillies, who fell to the Giants 4-3 on that Patrick Bailey walk-off 3-run inside the park home run.
By the way, over 1,200 inside the park home runs in the history of baseball.
1,200?
A lot more than I thought.
I
didn't think it was that.
I wouldn't guess
that.
That
was a quick Google search, but yeah.
Probably a lot.
How about that?
Well, I asked the question earlier. I was
probably a lot way back in the day in those expansive ballparks.
Right.
CeeLo, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Are you wearing basketball shorts?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know one would know on TV. He's got a nice polo shirt.
No, he walked by me, and I just couldn't tell if that was like some
jogger. I wouldn't say basketball shorts. They're athletic shorts. Yeah.
Okay, they're basketball shorts. Like, what are we doing?
Navy blue Nike shorts. They match the navy blue here in the shirt.
You're matching the basketball shorts with the polo?
They're not basketball shorts. It's just, you know.
He has there's only one, I don't know if you wear shorts, there's only one outfit you wore once where I looked, I'm like, what is going on here?
Was that?
You had like a velour sweatsuit on.
Okay.
No.
I've been on a fan with a velour sweatsuit. Okay. My wife dragged me for it.
First of all, it was not velour, but yes, it did become a thing because Al took the picture of me, posted it, and people went nuts. It was like a cream-colored Nike matching sweatsuit, not velour.
I had the matching velour.
You ain't got tan and black sneakers, but
you did match very
nicely. It went out there. So then what ended up happening when they did the Boomer and Geo live show? They made me wear that, and then they, you know, berated me for it.
Oh, and you got the Flag and Anthem
and then
clothes.
Flag and Anthem gave me a makeover on
stage.
Well,
the only reason I asked, because usually when you see somebody with a athletic short and a, you know, polo shirt combination, you would assume they were in a house fire. And when you wouldn't, it's just not something you put together as, oh, this is my go-to. This is how I'm coming to work.
Well,
I
did get dressed in the dark this morning, so I didn't
wake
the wife up.
Well, you work on TV a lot in the morning. You're not sometimes with Craig or on NFL Network. You don't just waist up and then have shorts on or sweatpants?
Not at all, sir. My wife would be embarrassed and I would get a ton less.
But we wouldn't know on TV.
Well, she would know because when I came back in the house, she was like, oh, so you're giving up.
Got it.
On life? Like, I'm like, no. She's very critical about what I put
on my
body.
Speaking of house fires, ask CeeLo where he's sleeping tonight.
Where are you sleeping?
Well, on the couch. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, you staying here?
Which I do usually.
I know. I know.
A couple times a week, unfortunately.
Triple header today?
Double.
Double. Okay.
But quick turnaround, coming back here tomorrow. And then when I get home tomorrow, the reason I'm not here Friday, we're going out to Hershey with the kids and a couple other families.
Oh.
So there'll be no nap on Thursday. I get home and we get right back in the car for the 2.5 hour ride out to Hershey.
Okay.
These? So.
Yeah.
A lot of chocolate.
We were there for a baseball tournament. It's cool. Yeah. It's nice.
Good for the kids?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, that's where we're going. We're taking they start football practice Monday, so this is like a little quick getaway before they start sweating it out football practice next week.
They actually have a very nice arena in Hershey.
Hershey Bears.
Say, the hockey team.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They get real acts there, like real musical acts.
Yeah.
Who the hell's going to Hershey?
Like Soulja Boy and Lil Bow Wow type stuff?
Maybe. For real.
Okay.
If you look at their lineup, it's pretty impressive, or at least has been in the past. So, there.
Go ahead. Something for you to check out. Great Wolf Lodge as well in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I've heard nightmares about that.
Really?
My buddy said it's the Thunderdome for kids. It's
That's what I'm not saying you and your wife take a vacation there, but
when we vacay, it's all in. I have to enjoy it, too.
Do you like water parks?
Yeah.
Well, then there you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
You didn't.
Just check it out.
I don't feel like you sold me enough. I need more out of you.
I mean, I've been twice, three times, and we've had a blast every time.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's better.
There you go. All right, in the Bronx.
Do they let them play that song there?
Where them fans at? No BS. For everybody that's traveling south, you go to any bar, any place, when that song comes on, watch half the room stand up and get in formation.
I mean,
and then you see people whipping out fans out of places you didn't think existed.
I mean, when Eddie enjoys a song that wasn't from the 70s or earlier, then
right.
I know it's a hit.
Eddie, have you heard that song before?
No, first
he
time.
He enjoyed it.
And I liked it.
YouTube or TikTok, whatever you do, watch how many people get it. They have classes, like Zumba classes, solely around that song. It's an intense song. So take that out of, the black folks' vacation. It seems, seems aggressive.
Bring that out to Montana on Monday.
Dukes, where the fans at in Montana? Oh, man.
That'd be fun. Anyway,
all right, we got to go quick because I want to get to some other stuff. Yankees did beat the Mariners 10-3. Home runs, big home runs in the game for Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge as well. Cal Raleigh matched him as their race for the top home run. What's the word I'm looking for? The lead in the major leagues continues. Good God. Jazz Chisholm Jr. moved back to second base. He doubled home a run in this one. So they still need some more for the home run derby field.
Yes.
He told, according to Chris Kirshner of The Athletic, who covers the team, Jazz would be interested in participating if the league asks him. So we'll see what comes of that.
All right.
Tonight, you've got the major league debut for 6'6" right-hander Cam Schlittler up from AAA. And Evans will go for Seattle. It's a 6:25 pregame here on The Fan and the free Odyssey app. Now, as part of last night's game, you had Jim Abbott throw out the first pitch in honor of his no-hitter. They got the documentary coming up, the E60 documentary on the no-hitter and his baseball journey. So he joined the Yes crew in the booth, and as they went to break, he had some nice words for Paul O'Neill, who thought they were already in commercial as Jim was delivering that to him.
I appreciate it, Paul. It was great playing with you.
Thank
one of my favorite teammates.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
you should have said that when we were on the air.
We heard you,
and that was the first commercial on the break.
We heard you.
It's kind of funny, at least on the DirecTV feed here.
That is
at
funny.
The Fan. So Paulie didn't realize that that compliment was on the air. We all heard it.
That's
so very
funny.
Good as far as that goes. Dodgers and Brewers from Milwaukee, big time pitching matchup. You had the veteran Clayton Kershaw opposed by rookie flamethrower Jacob Mizorowski. Brewers manager Pat Murphy joined the TNT broadcast mid inning with his team at the plate.
Manager of the Milwaukee Brewers, Murph, thanks for spending some time with us. Got to get your thoughts, what you've seen so far from your flamethrower, Jacob Mizorowski. It's pretty elite stuff here as Monasterio sends one to left. Call
get out of here.
It's D. Man, we thought we had the good vibes going there, Murph.
That looks like you get it off the end a little bit.
I love how he's, I got it off the end. He's
just move
ignoring
on.
The fact that he just
that was Gable.
Cursed
right.
on the air. But,
that
you
is
know.
Very funny.
Mizorowski, 6 innings, 12 Ks, a 3-1 Brewers victory. Here was the kid afterwards on his showdown with Kershaw.
I saw something on online that he didn't know who I was, so I hope that he knows me now, It's kind of cool, but... it is what it is.
Yeah, I know him now, huh? I mean, that was super impressive. Yeah, I mean, that's
That was unbelievable.
Went much better for him than it did against the Mets last week, though. Yes. Otani did homer against him in the first inning. That was it. Mets after that. Up. He was dominant. All right, Mike Brown, introduced by the Knicks yesterday, or kind of introduced himself, I guess you could say.
That was weird, right? Yeah. No one came out, and it was just he walked to the podium, and that was strange.
Yeah, so a lot of talk about him, you know, not being the first option. Took a while to hire him, so did he have to sell himself to the front office, Leon Rose, Jim Dolan, whoever it may be?
The only person I really had to sell myself to was Roe, and obviously it worked. That's why she's sitting right there.
That's his fiance, so a little low-hanging fruit there.
He referenced her numerous times.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Now, the press conference itself, I didn't find that interesting, so I want to play a couple things. This is Alex B. So this is Mike Bisaglia's partner for the basketball podcast they do. You know Mike Bisaglia. Hold on.
Yes, stay with me. I love Mike.
Okay. What was Gio's former producer?
Face.
The reason I'm bringing it up is because I know Gio has spoken about Bisaglia on the show before. So it's not like it's the first time his name has been uttered.
It's just when you said his basketball podcast,
whatever it
face
is.
Was
yeah,
funny.
Gotcha. All right. Knicks Central or Bad Weather fans. Anyway, he decided to do a little, kind of like Evan's been doing with the Mets.
Yes.
A little quick video breakdown of the Brown presser after it took place. So here was the start of it.
He is big on accountability. I'm loving everything I'm hearing from Mike Brown. He has nailed this press conference. I know that's kind of easy to do, but at the same time, I believe him.
All right, so there we go with the nail in the press conference again. But this particular video takes an interesting turn as this guy, I think, is filming the video seemingly from a train station platform or with a train nearby.
He's going to work with everybody together in a collaborative effort, in his words, and crush it and try to win a championship. Yes, that's a train going by that's ruining my video. Let's go, Knicks. Let's run the train. Not run the train. Let's run a train through the Eastern Conference. Let's go, Knicks.
I give him credit for, you know, actually posting that despite
dedicated.
What he just
right,
said
he
there.
He could have redone it.
So, yeah, he decided to stick with that one, which was kind of interesting. You guys spoke quite a bit about the Kansas City radio host who called Patrick Mahomes an embarrassment.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm not
that's
even
silly.
Referencing the name.
I'm not going to play that, but I do have Mahomes. I didn't get to it yesterday with Kay Adams up in Adams talking about how desperate he basically is to be done with this offseason. Wants to get back on the field. Let's just settle things on the field and play some football.
You know, I'm honestly just ready to play football again. Whenever you lose, you kind of have this taste in your mouth that you want to go out there and revenge that or whatever you want to say. But at the same time, I feel like I've had to sit back and just listen to people talk. And I'm like, let's just play football and just handle it all out there. And I don't really want to talk about it. I just want to go out and show who we are as a Kansas City Chiefs.
Right. By the way, I think that was said before this whole fat shaming things.
Serious question, and I get that. When you lose the Super Bowl and you were that close to winning it, like you're, you know, foaming at the mouth to get back out there. If you're on a bad team, how excited are you to start a new season if November and December of the last season was awful?
You wish next week was you were playing again.
So you can't wait as well.
Because it's the turnover is necessary from the mental standpoint. You don't want to feel like you're jinxed, right? So you want to do everything to kind of feel like you want to get that dark cloud over your head erased by just getting one win again. You know, it's always good to lead in this season after a bad season on a win, because it's about feeling better about what you've done and what's ahead of you. And, you know, turnover is real in the league. Guys, you know, that locker room is never going to be the same. True. You're never going to see the same guy. But if you are a guy who's under contract to come back, plans on coming back, you know, you want to feel like, man, good times are ahead. You don't want to feel like it's all doom and gloom rolling into the next season.
Like it's been for the last 8 years here.
Yes. I didn't get to ask him about the Idzik press conference. We'll do that another time. Let's get to moment of the day.
Sorry, Cee.
No, it's my, you know, I'm running late with all this Alex B sound that I'm playing. All right, so moment of the day.
That made Eddie laugh. Eddie, he took a hard chuckle at that.
Oh, I like that the run the train was kind of funny. All right, Willie, following up on Al's plans for the big Montana trip coming up next week, pressured him to book some stuff, or I guess made him feel like I better book some stuff. So he went home and made some plans and revealed that he settled on fly fishing. We pick it up from there.
Okay. I mean, you and the lady?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound very romantic.
casting flies.
Have you done this before?
No.
Because it's an art.
No,
fishing is hard. It's not like regular fishing.
Yeah, no, I did more like I'm from New Jersey. I'm expecting to go fly fishing in Montana. Whatever the most basic is, that's what I want to do.
Okay. You're going to be doing that in somebody's backyard. I don't think it's going to be.
I don't think.
Do you think he'll be tying his own flies?
No, not at all.
I don't know what that means.
Al, I just feel like, does your lady consider you a man's man?
No.
I feel like Al should take up painting. Be more expressive that way.
I tried painting once. It was very difficult.
That's why he tries the piano. And the guitar.
Oh, okay. So you're just swinging at anything to keep your mind occupied.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, you know, 56 and single.
He's not really single, though.
Yeah.
He's not, though.
They're not cohabitating.
I understand.
Are you single, yes or no, Al?
Well, I'm not married, and we don't live together. But
you're not single.
I'm not single.
So if a girl asked you out Friday night, you're not going.
Depends on the girl.
Right. Is it Jared Goff's wife
with those big breasts that you were so excited to tell me about on the warm-up show this morning?
He was excited.
Featured
about
prominently on the new season of The Quarterback.
I mean, did you see it?
I did not. No.
I mean, there's not the yet. Scene when she's shooting for Sports Illustrated, and they win their beautiful, and they win their first game, and it's the first game she's missed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
and she's about to give birth, I believe. So imagine what they look like now.
All right, freak.
I'm the freak.
Look at that.
All morning. Oh, they're prominent. Look at those breasts.
I'm
just saying, these guys are making a big deal about her.
You're just off the rector today.
In the swimsuit
shoot.
Just an
absolute dog.
And now she's, you know, fully pregnant.
She had big boobs. We're like, but she's pregnant.
God, yeah.
It means
they don't get smaller when you get pregnant. That's for damn sure.
Anybody's in a room for lactate? Like, what are you talking about?
I didn't go there. I didn't say, you know.
Jesus there, CeeLo.
I was looking to sample anything. Thing from that, so
we need to take a break.
Okay. Willie, good to see you, man.
Always, brother.
All right, Chris, we'll see you tomorrow. 9:45, we're coming right back. Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, a few more minutes. It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo, built Ford Tough Studio. Just a couple of quick things, if you would allow me. Number one, today and tomorrow, I think the last 2 days, if you're interested in trying to golf with Boomer and Geo, we've got the golf tournament August 18th at Bella Vista Country Club in Marlboro for a friend of mine that's battling ALS, Scott Goldsberry, and the live auction for a twosome to golf with Boomer and Geo is still active. It's 32auctions.com/boomer-geo-golf, 32auctions.com/boomer-geo-golf. I think that bidding ends tomorrow. And then after that, we're going to do one more to play golf with CeeLo and JJ. So we've got that going. Number two, I just heard a Skechers commercial for the slip-ins.
Yeah.
And I had no idea they were a sponsor here. So I must tell you, the other day.
You promoted them the other day, I remember.
Well, I told you about it off the air. We never got to it.
We didn't talk about it on air?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I am telling you, these are the greatest sneakers. As someone with back pain, the greatest sneakers I've ever bought. They are as advertised. You just foot right in. I don't have to bend over, tie the laces. So that's actually pretty cool. I didn't know they were a sponsor.
I just hope they have them in my size. If they have my size,
I would venture to guess they probably do.
I wear a 17.
Oh, maybe not. That's a big, that's 17?
Yeah.
That's big foot. Oh, you're a big man.
Oh, yeah.
Big foot, big man. Yes. So that's kind of cool. I didn't even know they were a sponsor here. That's very neat.
Free shoes?
Because what's that?
Getting free
shoes? No, I'm not at all. Not at all. But they're a sponsor, which is why I brought it up.
Oh.
I paid willingly for these. I'm like, I'm good throughout I've told you this before. I wake up with terrible back pain every morning. And once I get into my car with the heated seat, I'm fine. And then I'm good the rest of the day till I go to bed. I feel literally fine. But it is a chore I'm not even kidding, to bend over and put the sneakers on and tie the laces. So I went with my wife on Saturday or Sunday, whatever it was. I'm like, I got to try these. And I will tell you, in the store, they are as advertised. They are phenomenal. So that was kind of cool.
That's how you know you're getting up there in age.
I agree.
You buy shoes for comfort, not style.
Well, they're pretty nice.
They're cool.
They're pretty cool. Yeah. And they have a lot of different styles.
Yeah,
so.
But you're not wearing like the concrete, so the Jordan 11s or...
No.
Or the ones, the retro ones.
What are the concretes?
Oh, the Travis Scott's. Cactus Jacks.
I'm good with everything you've said. What are the concretes?
It's a brand of Jordans. They're the 12s.
Oh, that's what they're... Okay. Yeah. I thought they were just Jordans.
But that's my point. You're not...
Well, you called me a sad dad the other day with the shirt I was wearing. You think I'm wearing something called concretes?
Well, because you look like you just finished writing off the bills and you're, you know... You just look like a dad. You had like a little Tommy Bahama vibe going on.
I was trying to have a summer vibe going on, not sad dad writing bills out of the
You look like how you walk, like the sitcom shows when you walk in and dad's writing the bills, like, who keeps the water on? You had that vibe.
That's not me. I don't do that.
Okay.
I do not complain about the water running or the
My wife
or the
does.
AC.
She beats you. Who left the light on?
What do you keep the AC at?
In my room when I go to sleep?
You have your own.
What do you mean?
What do you have, like multiple zone air conditioning? Like most people have central air. What do you have? You have central air for your palatial bedroom?
You would not rich shame me on this show.
I'm not rich shaming anybody.
I have multiple zones, if that's what you're alluding
to.
Wow. Yes.
So you have, I'm being serious.
I have
so
five zones.
Five zones? Yeah. Does that mean you have five units
yes.
outside?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do you keep your bedroom at? I know you sleep nude, so what do you keep the temperature in the bedroom at?
66.
66?
My number, my football number.
Wow. What is the main part of the kids' bedrooms? Not 66. 70?
Yeah, they're like 72.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the main part of the house?
It's 70, 72.
70, 72. Mm-hmm. And 66 in your bed.
Yeah, I got to sleep like a polar bear. My wife loves it, too. She's going through menopause, so she's always hot and on. Hot and cold, so yeah.
You don't have to answer this if you don't want to.
I'm going to answer it just because you said that.
But I have to ask. Your electric bill, north or south of $500 a month?
I got solar panels, and it's north.
I was going to say, Jerry has five air conditioners.
I know, I'm just...
That's way over $500.
This is one zone at 66 in the summer. His bedroom might be bigger than your condo and the bottom floor of my house.
Yeah, you can store meat in my... It gets cold. It gets frosty. I like it like that. I have to sleep in a cold room. I cannot sleep in...
Yeah, but you can afford the bill. A lot of people can't afford that bill.
I got your beat, though. 62.
62?
Yeah.
You're a corpse. 62.
Wow.
And I have solar panels, but it's a much smaller house, so my bill is just the... In the summer, it's just the service fee, whatever it is. A couple of bucks.
It's pretty good. Pretty good. All right, well, he's got your beat.
Yeah, 62 is like vampire stats.
Yes, that is. I thought 66 was cold. 62 is absurd. Take a quick break.
They're probably cooling a different size room.
What makes you think that?